And we went through the humiliation of Christ. If you remember the humiliation of Christ that we went through, and I want you to take those scriptures and the message that we went through last time and treasure in your heart to see how we saw the difference between the difference of what the world has presented on Jesus, what the tradition has said on Jesus, but what the scriptures have said on Jesus. And we saw that very clearly last time. And today we are going to continue in another subject that is called the wilderness temptation of Christ. And I'll tell you, in this big battle between Christ and the devil, Christ showed us as an example how to be obedient to God. And if you want to be obedient to God, here is a best example how Christ showed that. And even when we sang that song today, that we want to be obedient, you know, and Christ showed us to be obedient to the Father, no matter what comes on your way. And before I get into this, in the wilderness temptation of Christ, where Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, I want you to put a little foundation here for our study. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse chapter 2:16. Genesis 2:16. And God told Adam, and he commanded, the Lord commanded the man, that is Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Now that's a commandment that God gave Adam. Now, you know what happened? Adam disobeyed. And if you turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, of this, of disobedience, we see in Romans 5:12, as the Apostle Paul writes, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Just like God said, you shall surely die, death came. And man was separated from the fellowship, relationship of God. And everybody died physically and also died spiritually. And death came to everybody because everyone sinned against God. And we see the picture here, that the picture what we have to see is that men are lost without God. They are spiritually dead. And also, they are going to be spiritually dead forever. And in this way, the first Adam was made innocent. He was made innocent. He was holy. There was no sin in him. And God gave a commandment for him to keep. If you don't keep it, if you disobey, you're going to die. And what happened? Death came to everyone. Everyone was on the way to hell. And here, but God had mercy upon some. He had mercy for the elect sake. He sent Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus comes as the second Adam with the same temptation here. Because just like Adam was made innocent, Christ was made without sin. And here comes the same tempter, same temptation is going to come to Christ. And Christ is going to, why did Christ come? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. The reason he came here, 1 John 3:8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, and he might destroy the works of the devil. And here comes Christ. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to triumph over the enemy. First Adam failed. The second Adam triumphed. The second Adam gave us victory through. That's the whole reason here of the temptation of Christ. That's the beginning here. Now if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Remember, last study we saw that how Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And verse 16 says, when he had been baptized, when he has been baptized, Jesus came immediately from the water, and behold, the heaven were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." And that's the story we see here, that Jesus was led by the same Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that conceived Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that is with the Father, and the same Holy Spirit that is eternal God, the same Holy Spirit that is with the Father, with the Son, who conceived the Son. Now that Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, this wilderness is not the wilderness where John the Baptist came from. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, says, "In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea." Now we had to understand it is not the same wilderness here. This is a different wilderness. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 1 verse 13. Let scripture interpret scripture. Mark 1 verse 13. Immediately, starting from verse 12, "Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him." This wilderness is where the wild beasts are there. This is not the same wilderness. This is a violent place. This is a violent place. It's the wilderness where John the Baptist came. There were towns, there were people. As they came to John the Baptist to be baptized, it was different. And this is a wilderness where wild animals. It's a violent, lonely place, and where no people are. Now remember, the first Adam was in the paradise, and there were wild animals with him, and the animals did not hurt him. And here is the second Adam, also he's not in paradise, but he's in the wilderness, and there are wild animals also, but the second Adam is not hurting the wild animals. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Christ did not go to combat the devil on his own. It says very clearly, Christ did not go on his own, but he was led by the Holy Spirit. Now, many times, I'll tell you, there are a lot of Christians here, they fall into this error where they go to the battle zone with the enemy on their own. They are not led by the Spirit, but they go on their own to fight the enemy. I'll tell you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall." Many people think, "I can fight the enemy," and they rebuke the enemy, and they go on their own to fight the battle. They think, "I can handle it. There's no problem. I can handle it." And they go to the battle. I'll tell you, enemy will whip you. And at the end, they come crying. I say, "Oh no, what happened?" Because you went to the battle on your own. If you want to be victorious over the enemy, you need to be led by the Spirit of God. Here, Christ was led by the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you, that means you need to go by divine permission of God. It was a divine permission for Christ to go in to the battlefield. Matthew chapter 6, 13. Remember, in this prayer, Jesus said, when we pray, "Do not lead us into temptation." Right? When we pray, we had to pray, "Do not lead us into temptation." But I'll tell you, many people are going into temptation on their own. Here, unless God, by divine permission, lead you into temptation, that means he is going to do something good for you. Because James chapter 1 verse 2 says, James 1 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. This is when the Spirit leads you into trials, into temptations that is against the enemy. Because these trials, where God leads you, will make you a stronger man. Understand? Alright. Leading of the Spirit. Here, we see here, on this story, when Christ was led by the Spirit to the spiritual battle, we see it is really for God's glory. It is for God's glory, and also we are going to see it is for our good. It is for God's glory. Now, why is it for God's glory? If Satan was not tempted by if Christ was not tempted by Satan, then how can we overcome Satan? If Christ was not tempted by Satan, what I'm trying to say, if there wasn't a spiritual battle here, there's no victory. Right? Then how can Christ overcome Satan? How can he destroy the works of the devil? So actually, eventually, we can see it is for God's glory. Who is the victor? God, through Christ Jesus. So we can do all things through Christ Jesus. And also we see that it is for our good also. Because if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Anybody have weaknesses? But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And here we see how Christ was tempted. He feel our weaknesses. When the devil comes and tempts us, when we are going through a spiritual battle, Christ feels it because he was tempted in the same way. So he feels it and he sympathizes us. So we can go to the throne room of grace boldly now in Christ Jesus. So we say it is also for our good. Now in Matthew says, chapter 4 verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, after he was hungry, now when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now here we see how Satan comes, very subtle. And I'll tell you, this is a fierce and a violent temptation. Because 40 days after fasting, I don't know about you, when I'm hungry, after one day, I'm really hungry. Here, Christ has fasted 40 days. And at the end of that 40 days, he was hungry. And you can see how the devil came. He came at the end of 40 days, when he was extremely weak and hungry. And you can see the timing of the enemy, right? He times it when you're at your weakest. That's the way he times it. He doesn't time when you're in the church, when you're with everybody, right? He times it when you're outside. When you're weak at a place, that's the time the enemy is looking. It's like a roaring lion, always looking to devour somebody who is weak. If you look at those animal movies, the lion or the tiger, how he prays for the deer that is drinking water. And I'll tell you, and suddenly he comes, he jumps, he runs, he pounds. Who gets caught? The weak one gets caught. So Satan knows how to put the bait to catch the fish. He's very good on that one. And this is a really a violent, a fierce temptation. Now, verse 4. If you see here on verse 17, let's see verse 4. And his question was, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, if you have been reading the Bible line by line, precept by precept, the first thing, in verse 17, God already said that he is the Son of God. Matthew 3:17 says, this is my beloved Son, whom well I am pleased. You see that? Now, Satan is saying, well, if you are the Son of God, God already said he is the Son of God. Now, what is the question here? Satan is doubting. He is putting doubt. When you are weak, and he's questioning his divinity. And I'll tell you, Satan knew that he is the Son of God, because Satan saw when the angels came and proclaimed that he is the Son of God. Satan saw when the angel came to Joseph, when the angels came to Mary and proclaimed he is the Son of God. And Luke chapter 4 verse 41, even the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Luke 4:41. Says, and demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. See that? And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Of course, Satan knows that he is the Son of God, but Satan is attacking his humanity here. As a man, as a second Adam. And here, of course, he comes when Christ is very hungry, and he cries, there are a lot of stones in this place here, and the stones look like bread, like a loaf of bread. You know, and when Christ is so hungry, he's weak, he's physically weak, and he comes to the very root, Satan, and says, if thou art the Son of God, I'll tell you, if Jesus wanted to, he turned the water into wine. He can turn the stones into bread. That's not a big deal. Right? But Christ is not going to work a miracle on Satan's choice. Who is bidding here? Satan is the one who is bidding. So Christ will not work a miracle on Satan's choice. It's like say, if you're poor, steal. Right? That's not it. So Satan here wants Christ to satisfy his sensual desires. How many times Satan comes and tells us to satisfy our sensual desires? God is saying, Satan is saying, satisfy your sensual desires. God is saying, self-denial. Now, second thing what I see is he came against the very authority of Scripture. And Satan said, if. There are no ifs. God said yes. God said, you are my beloved Son. So Satan always comes and put an if there. If you are the Son of God. I'll tell you. Christ could have used his divine power to wipe away Satan, but instead he used the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. If you remember Genesis, also Satan played the same game with Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field which the Lord has made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And he's posing a question. Of course God said that. God said, you can eat any of the trees, but not the tree of good and evil you cannot eat. But Satan said, has God said? It's the same thing what Satan is doing to Jesus Christ. If thou art the Son of God. There's no new thing in Satan. It's the same putting doubt. But what happened to Adam and Eve here? When Eve tried a conversation with the enemy. You don't have a conversation with the enemy. That's what happened. And the woman said to serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees and so forth like that, but all that, you know. And here she tries to get into a conversation with the enemy. You don't do that. But what did Jesus do? He used the word of God. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It is a weapon that is given to us. When the fierce attacks of the enemy comes, we use the word of God. How, if you turn with me to Psalm chapter 86, 11. Psalm 86, 11 says, give me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth. Wow. It is the truth. The word of God is the truth. And that's what we need to use. And Jesus said, what did he say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now where is it written? Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Jesus used the word of God. Deuteronomy 8:3 says here, starting from verse 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. I'll tell you, God created the spiritual hunger here. He created a hunger to see that you are hungry more for spiritual food or for physical food. That's what happened. That's what God did to the people in Israel. He created a hunger just to see, to humble them down. So when they are humbled, that they will really yearn more for spiritual food rather than physical food. Question. Are you hungry for spiritual food? Jesus, and it says here, Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2, God wanted to see whether they are going to obey his commandment. And here, Jesus obeyed the commandment. He used the word of God. Although he was hungry, Jesus, he treasured on the word of God more than the physical food. My question is, are you hungry for spiritual food? Ask the question. And I'll tell you, a lot of times the devil, some people, they don't even know that there's a battle. Well, everything is fine. I'll tell you, if you are in devil's side, he won't bother you. Because everything is doing fine. The more closer you come to God, the more the fighting of the devil, he get mad at you, he will put fierce attacks upon you. Remember, Jesus, he was filled in the Spirit. When he's filled in the Spirit, that's the time the enemy came. But if you are going fine and dandy, you don't even know that you're on devil's side. And you don't have any problems. You know, you don't have problems. And you say, oh, God is blessing me. I tell you, you're on the wrong side. You're on the devil's camp. That's why there is no spiritual battles. But if you are in Christ's camp, enemy, there is an enemy then. If you're in the devil's camp, then you don't have an enemy. God is going to be your enemy. at the end of the age. And that's more dangerous. Now, what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Remember, the first Adam was tempted in the paradise, in the garden of paradise. The second Adam was tempted in the wilderness. The first Adam was tempted not to eat this fruit. The second Adam was tempted also by the enemy to eat these. Make these bread stones into bread and eat it. You see the parallel here. Then Matthew chapter 4 verse 5 says, then the devil took him into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The first temptation came basically against the authority of the Word of God, against his sensual desire. The second temptation is coming on worship, spiritual worship, on the spiritual side of it, the worship. Now, here we see how the devil took him to the holy city. What is the holy city? It's Jerusalem. Alright? Now here from the wilderness, he takes him to Jerusalem. And the temple, the pinnacle of the temple means the highest point of the temple. Okay? It's the highest point of the temple. And he takes him and he tempts him. Again he tempts him. And he says, and if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, and he even quotes scripture. Now I'll tell you, why did the devil take him to the temple here? Why did he take him to the holy city and to the temple? I'll tell you, because I believe that the devil is taking Christ now to his Christ's own territory, where he is most comfortable. Jerusalem, the holy city, temple belongs to Christ. Jerusalem, the temple, that all belongs to Christ and to his people. And devil is telling, now, this is your own camp, your own territory. Throw yourself down so everybody will see that you are the Son of God. I tell you, Satan can quote scripture, huh? He quoted Psalm chapter 91, verse 11 and 12. Satan quotes scripture. Remember 2 Corinthians, before we get into that, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, how Apostle Paul said. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Satan knows how to quote scripture. And I'll tell you, and some can have head knowledge, your head full of scriptures, but your heart can be like the devil. That's Satan. He knows all the scriptures in his head, but the heart is like a devil. That means you can quote scripture, you can memorize scripture, but your behavior is like a devil. Now, if you see Matthew chapter 4, the scripture that he quoted is Psalm 91. Lest you dash your foot against a stone. I have a question. Do you see any problem with the scripture here? What Satan quoted? I see there's a major problem here in this scripture. Let's read it very carefully. If you read very carefully, you will see Satan omitted a whole line there. Now if you turn with me, whole Matthew 4, and turn with me to Psalm 91:11, I'm going to show it to you. And this is how the devils will misquote scripture. Psalm 91, verse 11. Now read it very carefully, Psalm 91:11, and parallel to Matthew. For he shall give his angels charge over you. Now go back to Matthew. Okay, on the other thing. And it says there, for he shall give his angels charge over you. That is correct, right? Right. Go back to Psalm. To keep you all in all your ways. Go back to Matthew. That's missing. It's not there. Now go back to Psalm. Then it says here, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That is there in Matthew. Ha-ha! You see how they misquote scriptures? Very cunning, huh? Very cunning. Satan did not say the part, all thy ways, when it says here, verse 11, to keep you in all thy ways. He didn't put that thing there. He didn't give it to that. He didn't quote that to Jesus. I'll tell you, all thy ways are not our ways. It's not, you know, it's not our way. It's God's way. It's not our ways. He left a portion of it. But if Christ, what he's trying to say is if it's not God, it's not God's way, but it's Christ's way. He abused the scripture here. He misquoted the scripture. This is where a lot of cults, they misquote scriptures. They don't use scripture. They don't put it in context. They take this part, that part, you know, here and there to give their opinion. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3:16. 2 Peter 3:16 says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which we are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Twisting scriptures for their own purpose. I'll tell you, there are many churches today, lot of churches who seem to be very good, because it's very pleasing to what you're hearing, but they twist the scriptures. We need to be like the Bereans, going back to the scriptures and see what the scriptures say exactly. Now remember, there are some churches say that we are the only true church. All the other churches are wrong. Have you heard that? When somebody says that, I say, uh-oh. They are the only true church. When did your church, when was it founded? Oh, in 1950s, or somebody. Before that, so all the churches were lost. Suddenly in 1950s, here we came a church. So you had to be very careful. That's why we need to go through scripture. Every word is important. So we see that the devil abuses scripture. But this did not prevent Christ to use scripture. Just because the devil abused the scripture, it did not prevent Christ to use scripture. And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:16. Now, where is Matthew here? I'm lost. Matthew 4. Jesus said, it is written that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That's a direct quotation from Deuteronomy 6:16. Deuteronomy 6:16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. Now scripture is the best interpreter of scripture. Scripture should interpret scripture, and scripture should be taken by context. So if anybody says that Jesus was like this, Jesus was like that, or and you hear some any story, and they even will use a scripture to support their position, you had to take the entire context. And in this case, Satan totally left a whole sentence there. A portion of the scripture was not there. Now, let's go back to Matthew. The third temptation, and again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. I'll tell you, this is the worst temptation. This is where Satan took the temple. The highest place of the temple is not good enough. Now he takes him to the higher place. As he is the prince and the power of the air, he takes to the high area and shows all the fancies and the glamours of the beauty, the pomp and glory of the world. He shows Christ the dazzling beauties of sin. And I'll tell you the first sin, if you turn with me to Genesis 3:6, the first sin, it began with the eye. Right? Genesis chapter 3 verse 6. Yeah, turn with me to Genesis 3:6. The woman saw that the tree was good, the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. You see that? And tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it, and also gave to her husband with her, and he ate too. And here we see how Satan again takes Jesus, and he gives the temptation for the eye. And devil took him high up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him the kingdoms of this world and their glory. Wow. The vanity of this world. If your eye sins, it's better to be blind. It's better to cut your eye off. How many of us get, look at something and say, wow. Satan puts that bait in you, temptation in you. Wow, I like it. Oh, I want this. I don't care. You get that. And you go for it. And Satan, all right. And you say, you're like a dead dog, You got caught to the trap of the enemy. 1 John chapter 2 verse 16 says, 1 John 2:16, all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Wow. And I'll tell you, this temptation, he said, all this I will give you. But if you go to Luke chapter 4 verse 6, there's a little bit more where Luke has given us. Luke 4:6. Luke chapter 4:6. And it says here, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I'll give it to whomever I wish. Not only that, just Satan tells, I'm going to give you all the power, the authority. How many people get tempted to get power and authority? But there's a condition. What is the condition? You must fall down and worship me. That's the condition. And I'll tell you, this is the worst temptation, because this is an abomination to God. This is idolatry. Because Satan is, this is an abomination to God. To fall down and worship another person is idolatry. you know, worshipping statues and images. People, when they worship statues and images, who are they worshipping really? They are worshipping the devil. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 17 says that. Deuteronomy 32:17. A sacrifice to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals, for your fathers did not fear. Anything that you sacrifice not to the real God, anything that you do worship not to the true God, you're worshipping the devil. Yes. Devil, he wants worship. That's what he's looking for. This is his last card that he's putting on Jesus. What he's really seeking is worship. But that's why he's called the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he's the God of this world. But I'll tell you, Jesus, before the two temptations that he put on Jesus, attacked on Jesus, Jesus had patience with the enemy. He quoted scriptures, but this one, he did not have any patience because this is utter blasphemy. Away with you, sin. You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. He didn't have any patience with it. This is utter blasphemy. Now, Deuteronomy, Jesus quote Deuteronomy chapter 6:13. Deuteronomy 6:13. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him, and shall take oaths in His name. And also he uses Deuteronomy 10:20. Also says, Deuteronomy 10:20 says, you shall fear the Lord your God, shall serve Him, and to Him shall hold fast. Now God is not going to give His glory to another. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 8 says that. I shall not give my glory to another. Hey, Jesus was obedient. He was obedient. The first Adam failed. Christ, he came to represent us. And in his representation, Christ was our representation, and he was victorious against the enemy. Because I'll tell you, if Christ failed, what a disaster. Do you know that all the promises of God are in Christ? Just imagine, all the promises of God, they are all in Christ. Where does that say? What scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Apostle Paul said, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, probably. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Talking about Christ. Wow. Remember, Satan is a good tempter, and he came to tempt Christ. So why? He will sin. He will fall. Because Satan saw that Christ was fully human, also who is fully God. And he tried his best, but it didn't work, because Christ was obedient to the Father. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, how Satan tempted some people. Remember Noah, how he was a righteous man? Right? He was obedient to God. But Satan tempted Noah, right? What was his temptation? He made him drunk. He got tempted. And Noah got drunk. Remember? All his children came and saw his naked body. He was fast asleep. What about David, who was a man after God's own heart? And what a trap that David fell into, huh? That was a beautiful temptation Satan put. And David fell into adultery. What about Solomon? Another man of God. Wow! How Solomon fell into idolatry. Balaam. He got into the temptation when he cursed the people of God. What about Judas? He got tempted for money, for 30 pieces of silver to betray his master. Now let me give you what is the whole upshot for us here. What do we learn here? This is you are going through. If you are a true Christian, you will. The same Satan will come to you and to me. Satan is not dead. He's still alive. And he will use the same cunning devices to come and tempt you. And the Bible says not to be ignorant of his devices. And he will come and tempt you. He will come and tempt you in material things, in worldly things. He will take you the same route that he took Jesus. And he will take you to these beautiful malls, you know, beautiful shopping centers and so forth like that. And beautiful things that you see and so forth like that, which you cannot afford, or you know, you want more and more and more and more, and we accumulate things more and more and more and more, then we get our houses are filled with the other stuff that is getting older. What, you know, we try to get rid of those. You can see if there's an enemy behind it. You know, he's trying. What is his purpose? Is that you will spend more of your money for him, and more of your time for him, and more of your service for him instead of God, and that you will not satisfy what you have. So he will take you on a course here, and he will tempt you for pleasure. Wow. Pleasure instead of the word of God. Jesus said to the disciples that went to the Samaritan woman, "My food is to do the will of the Father." He was hungry, but he was really satisfied. Are you satisfied with the word of God? Is this brings a great satisfaction to your spirit and to your soul, and you are so you're so excited, sometimes tears come to your eyes? Does it? Oh, Satan can come and tempt you. You know what? Look at your life. It's miserable. And you have been like this for all the days of your life. Why won't you become like so and so? Right? Why won't you become like so and so? Though he give you all these ideas. The temptations come. The ambitions come. Yes. Why won't you grow, you know, make more money, get a better place, and get more authority, you know? Why not enjoy? Why you have to suffer? Right? Then you fall into that trap too. Then at the end, well, I'll tell you, what I'm trying to show you is, whatever Satan does, temptations, he will lead you away from God little by little. That's his purpose. His purpose is, whatever you are doing, he doesn't want you to come closer to God. He wants you to take away, little by little, gradually away from God. How does he do it? Material things? Worldly things? How does he do it? Attract you with a new position? More work? Or maybe sexual temptations? Breaking the family. Or could be even leaving the church. Find another church. That's Satan's last one, right? Worship me. Or even he will quote scriptures to you and say, "Well, I went to this church, they even use the Bible, quoting scriptures." And you say, "Wow, it's good."
and I like them. It's really good because, you know, the pastor, you know, is really good. I like to hear that. And they say, he will tempt all these ways for you to get away from the real God, for you to hear the real truth. Keep you away from growing in God. He will do everything. So he doesn't want you to grow in the Lord. How many of you remember all the fleshly things?
What I'm saying is, a lot of times you remember all the fleshly things, all the things that happened to your wife, life. You remember all those things, but you don't remember the spiritual things. You know why? Spending more time with the devil. If you're spending more time with the Lord, you will remember. Are you spending time with the Lord? For the devil. That's why you don't remember. Remember all the jokes and everything else, but scriptures didn't even meditate. It didn't even come to your heart. It just came to your ears and it just went through the other ears. But if you see something on the street or whatever like that, somebody says, you remember those things very good. Where's your interest? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2:11.
Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Wow. It says here, don't allow Satan to take advantage of your circumstances and whatever that is happening around you, because you should not be ignorant of his devices. That's what the Word of God says. Revelation chapter 2, 24. Revelation 2:24. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. Some people, they have no depths of Satan. They don't even know nothing about Satan. So they just follow him. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Are you strong in the Lord? Are you strong in the world? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Bible gives us a lot of warnings about Satan. And Satan comes to steal your soul and take you to hell. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Wants to eat you. Yeah. Satan wants to eat you. Ephesians 4:27. Apostle Paul says, 4:27. Not give a place to the devil. You don't give a place to the devil. You don't open the door for the devil. How many people give a place to the devil? That's what happened to Eve, right? He was having a good conversation with the enemy. Open the door. Don't give a place to the devil. If you give a place to the devil, he's going to eat you. He's going to come like a roaring lion and devour you. Well, I'll tell you, there are scriptures here. Many scriptures give us warnings of the temptation of the devil. I'll tell you, we praise God that Christ has won the victory. That we can, if you trust in Christ, and if you trust in Christ's obedience, not your strength, but Christ's strength, and say, God, help me, have mercy on me. I cannot do on my own. Please pour upon your grace, your spirit, that I would trust in Christ alone. God will give you the grace to come against the powers of the enemy. This is a good lesson. There is an enemy. And if there is an enemy who came to Christ, I'll tell you, the enemy will come to us too. And the enemy will come to the people, as I told you from the very beginning. And if you are a true Christian, the more closer you come to God, the more the enemy will come to you. And I'll tell you, if the enemy comes to you, the more closer the enemy comes to you, I'll tell you, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. You're on the right road to heaven. Because if there is no battle, there is no victory. And Jesus said, if they persecuted me, you will also be persecuted, right? The Bible says, all godly shall be persecuted. Right? That's what the Bible says. But if you don't have anything, and everything is running so smoothly, well, you got to wake up. Maybe you're on the wrong road. Maybe you're not really have that. You are not in Christ. You haven't come close to Christ. You have no battle. But if there's a battle, praise the Lord. This life, we can win the battle through Christ Jesus, because the battle belongs to God. Let's pray.